We are in the midst of a three-part series where we're focusing on Luke 10, 25 through 37. Now, last week and this week, I'm doing 25 through 28. You didn't know someone could be so long-winded about three verses, but I am. Pastor Joyce is teaching well, isn't she? All right, so before we get started into anything else, since I've cleared up the 15-year thing, let's go ahead and read Luke 10, 25 through 28, so we're reminded of what we're talking about here. And it goes a little something like this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" Then he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." And what I didn't say last week too is this guy, we talked about him being an expert. He knew everything about the law, right? And he quotes scripture. Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18 is where you're going to find those two things that he said. These are the most important. He boiled 613 laws of Moses down to those two things being the most important. And Jesus said, "You got it. Well done. You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." So last week we talked about loving God with all of our heart. Oh, that was pretty tiny. Heart and soul. And as a recap, because I'm going to recap here real quick. We learned that to love God with all of our heart, we need to bring him. Let's go back to heart, because I just love these slides. To love God with all of our heart, we need to bring all of our emotions to him, right? We learned that we need to talk to him out loud and tell him how we're feeling. We need to become totally vulnerable to him to really be able to love him with all of our heart. We also learned that we need to get God involved to love him with our soul. We need to get him involved in our entire will, our desires, our decisions. In order to love him with all of our soul, we bring him into those things, all of it. So our heart is where we feel, and our soul is where we decide. And to love God with all of our heart and soul, we're going to do those two things, right? We talked about that in more detail about what that looks like. Once again, if you need to see episode one of this trilogy, you can look on Facebook and online and all kinds of stuff where we post it. But we need to give God all of those things in order to love him fully, 100% all. We even went over what all meant, right? Not a part, not a little bit, all. The reason we're even doing this trilogy thing is to be reminded of and remember the most important things and the most important laws that Jesus told us about, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is to what? You guys remember? Love your neighbor as yourself. Pastor Tosh is going to hit on that next week as the cleanup hitter. And when we love God with all four of those things, fully, 100% all, that easily spills over into how we love one another and loving our neighbors. But we'll get to that next week. This week, the focus is going to be on strength and mind. All of our strength, all of our mind. And remember, we also talked about last week, all is all of your energy. All of one's energy, the whole of one's energy is how I looked at when I looked up all what it means. The whole of one's energy into soul and heart. And the first one we're going to talk about today is mind. When you love God with all your mind is where, this is going to be kind of easy and simple, but we're going to get a little bit more deeper into it, but it's where you think, right? It's what's up here. Obviously, duh. It's where your thoughts are. To love God with all of our mind means that God resides here in between your ears, up here. And it sounds like a super easy, simple concept, but it's really hard to put in practice. Anybody have a hard time putting this one into practice? Yeah, amen, sometimes. I mean, and I got to think about it, I was like, how in the world am I supposed to, when I'm like, I don't know, watching a sporting event. Let's say I'm watching the Rays. Go Rays. Right. Let's say I'm watching the Rays. How am I supposed to be thinking about God? I don't think it means we have to be thinking about God all the time, but God has to be at the forefront of our mind when the world, with the world interacting all around us. And I know in this world, my mind can get distracted from God so very easily. Anybody do a right turn from God? Like a hard left or hard right? It's so easy in this world when we get information, things happen, we see things. It's so easy in our mind to focus on worry, anxiousness, troubles, injustices, illnesses that don't seem right at all. The list goes on, right? Our mind can go towards those things so very easily instead of getting focused on loving God with all of our mind. So to love God with all of our mind, at all times, we have to evict the things that are living up in here that aren't of God. What's that? I didn't hear. Well, we'll be here a while then. We have to get rid of those things that aren't of God and accept into residency, into our mind, those things that are of God. We have to let God come in here and flip the script. Because so naturally sometimes it goes to those things that are so bad. And honestly, I understand. But we have to flip the script and say, okay, yes, but God. Yes, but God. Our thoughts need to go from what we tend to think and what comes easy to us and comes natural like an instinct for us. And we have to make a conscious decision to change how we're thinking. Philippians 4:8 is a really good verse, and we're going to dive into this just a little bit. Not too much, because I don't have all day. But I got you for as long as I keep you, I guess. Philippians 4:8 is a really great verse to memorize. It's a really great verse to focus on when you feel yourself going into negative mode or worry mode or anxious mode or focusing on something that's not of God. These are the things that Paul writes in Philippians 4:8 that we need to focus on. Finally, brothers, I'm going to read this. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is ugly, whatever is lovely. I said ugly. My apologies. Lovely. Whatever is admirable. Man. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, I cannot speak. This is going to be a long 20 more minutes for you guys. Think about such things. Think about those things. These are things to be thinking about and memorizing. Let's go into a little bit of detail, not a lot, about what each of these mean. Think on whatever is true. This is when we think upon things that won't let us down. That's the original Greek of it, by the way. Things that won't let us down. Things we can depend on. Who can we depend on? Jesus. Amen. We think on things that are noble. This is when we focus our minds on and appreciate God's worth. If you think about God's worth, everything else is going to dissolve. Think about things that are right, because I see a lot of things in the world that are not right. But we think upon and cooperate with God's right plan. We can think upon things that are pure. We think upon the forgiveness we receive through Jesus and not our sin, and on the pureness of God. Are all these things making you feel warm and fuzzy? They should. We think on things that are lovely, not ugly. Thank you. We think upon the greatness and abundance of God, and we enjoy Him. Admirable. We think upon how we see God in others and admiring God's character in them. I love this one. Think about how we see God in one another all the time. Excellent. We think upon the greatness and the excellence of our God. He is excellent, isn't He? And praiseworthy. I think that's the last one. We think upon what God is, what God is doing, and celebrate our very, very good God. If we think on these things, when stuff goes in here, things will change as how we think, and we can love God with our entire mind. The devil gets super duper busy in his little favorite playground, and that's in our heads, doesn't he? That's the place he attacks us. We've gone over that before here. Just a reminder, this is his favorite playground. And the way we defeat him is to think on these things. And I know we're all wired differently. I get that. There's a lot of psychology, sociology, biology, all that, all the ologies, if you want, that go into how our brain is made up. And we all think differently. Each one of us in this room all think differently. But there is something we can choose to do with those thoughts. The things are going to come. We're going to think whatever we're going to think for a lot of different reasons. But when those things come in, those thoughts, we can say, okay, they are of God or they're not of God. If they are not of God, they need to be evicted, and you go to this. It's our choice. It's our mind and our decision on how to think on things. We have to be self-aware and recognize as individuals when our mind's not focused on God and we start spinning out. I do it all the time, the spin out thing. And then when you recognize that that's happening, or someone says, hey, you're spinning out, you can get your mind refocused. The idea here is to think on these things and not do the spin out, right? We are human, I get it. But to love God with all of our heart, the spin out stuff becomes less and less and less and less, and we think more and more and more and more on God. To love God with all of our heart means we think on godly things and not things of this world. When we do this, we're going to find our outlook and our thinking is going to be different. It's going to be changed. It's going to be more godly. It's going to be centered around God more. And through that, the whole idea too of this is to create a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God, not just a box that you check that you went to church on Sunday. You'll begin to love God with all your mind, little at a time. It's a process. No one's perfect at it, but little steps in the right direction every single time. Evict the bad, evict the ugly stuff, and ask into residence God and all his good stuff. Read this book so you know even more about God than this verse in Philippians. Next, we're going to talk about loving God with all of your strength. And that doesn't mean how strong you are. But it does mean, oh wait, I have a slide for that. There you go. Look at my little person running. So cute. We're going to love the Lord with all of our strength. What this means is how you physically interact in the world. And I like this one. Heart, soul, and mind are kind of all internal, right? They're all in here. Strength is how you show all those things that are going on out into this world. Loving God with all of our strength means we do everything we can to serve him and to show this world his love through our actions. That's why that little person's moving. That's an action, isn't it? You can see that, right? Loving God with all of our strength is demonstrated by our actions, and it can be seen by others. We can't love God with all of our everything just on the inside. It has to be exhibited in the world that we live and how we interact with our world and what's in our world. People, mostly, right? The Greek word, I've been going to the Greek original, gives you a really good idea of what this word strength means when you go to the original text. The Greek word that translates strength for us, some English words would be might, force, power. And the one that I fell on that I really like today is ability. Our ability. Loving God with all of our abilities. It means we take our talents that God has given us, our special, unique, individual talents, and we use them to show God's love to others and to Him. Sometimes that's the only way people ever get to see God, right? Is through loving Him with all of our strength. Did you guys know that you are uniquely made and that no one else in the entire world ever has been like you? Doesn't that make you feel pretty cool? You're all pretty cool. No one ever in the history of the world or in the future will have the makeup that you do and the gifts and the talents and the specialness that you do. God made you special and unique. I think that's pretty awesome. Good. David writes in Psalm 139. I hate that I have to get these glasses every time I want to read the Bible. That's unique, isn't it? Psalm 139, 13 and 14. Some really great verses when you're feeling down about yourself and your abilities and your strengths. Think about this. For you created, David writes, he's praising God. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You are God's wonderful, awesome, amazing creation. Special. You are made for a special, specific purpose. And loving God with all of our strength allows your purpose to be fulfilled and for others to see in all of your abilities and all your special gifts and talents and abilities. All your energy and gifts that He has given you, you need to use it to the best of your ability, to the most of your ability. That's how you love God with all of your strength. We had a saying when I was playing sports, mostly the best sport ever, basketball. Right, Tony? Thank you. You know it, girl. I will. But when I was playing basketball, before the game or even during the game, teammates would get together and we'd be like, leave it all on the court. Leave it all on the court, which means just do everything within your ability to help us win. No matter the outcome, be just happy that you did everything that you could in your gifts, talents, and abilities to be able to win this game. And I feel that translates, spiritually speaking, too. When it comes to loving God with all of our strength, leave it all on the court. Leave it all on the field, whatever sport you want to reference here. Basketball is, but anyway. Leave it all on there. When you're serving God, don't hold back. Don't have any regrets. Let Him use every single gift and ability that you have. Because you're unique and special, and He needs you to do that to be able to love Him with all your strength. I encourage you not to hold back in your abilities for God. No one can express this kind of love for God, love with all the strength, like you can individually. No one else. So just do it all. Leave it all out there. God wants you to love Him like that with everything you got, all your strength, and the world needs you to do that. This church needs you to do that. And if you're suppressing any of your gifts, I got news for you. He's going to figure out a way for you to use it. Trust me, I can talk to you later about that if you want. Don't suppress anything. You'll find that that is definitely a struggle you're not going to win. And you'll be fulfilled, boy, I tell you. You will be fulfilled when you're using everything you got for God's glory to help Him out and just loving Him with all you got. So heart, soul, mind, and strength. These four things cover a lot, don't they? They cover a lot of who we are. And if we do everything we're supposed to and love God with all of that, you're going to see your relationship with Jesus just grow and blossom and just become deeper and more meaningful for you. I encourage you over the next week just to look at these things, break them down again, be in prayer about it. What can I do more in whatever area it is? This week when things start happening in the world, because we live in a weird world, don't we? and your mind starts racing and you might start spinning out, what are you going to do? Are you going to change your thoughts back to godly things, the things that are good and beautiful and praiseworthy and perfect? God, are you going to turn to God? Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. When your mind starts to race, you're going to get rid of that stuff and ask God to be in here. And when you're tired this week and you see somebody who needs something and you need to serve God, you're not going to say, oh, someone else will take care of it. You're going to say, you know what, I'm going to leave it all out on the court today. I'm going to just give God everything I got. I'll get rest later. Let's be a church that loves God in all four of those categories. Good grief, we will just grow and grow and grow spiritually, and that's what this church is all about. It's all of us growing together, individually and together, to be able to serve. I look forward, really, to seeing what God does with this church as we think about these things. And I encourage you to take inventory in your life on which one of these you need to get more in touch with God about, what you can do, so you can love God tomorrow a little bit more than what you loved him today. Just a little scoshy, that's fine. Just a little bit. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for the message here that we've received today. I thank you so much for you being in this place and guiding and directing our hearts to where we need to grow more towards you and how we need to love you more in some categories. God, I ask that you be with us and help us in our minds just to think upon godly and beautiful and wonderful things. I pray that we all can get stronger and loving you more in our minds, God. And I ask that you be with us as we learn this week and think about how we can love you more with all of our strength. Help us to tap into those abilities that you've given us, God, and the gifts and talents that we have to be able to serve you more, God, and just love you with all we got. Help us to just leave everything out there for you, God, and you're going to take care of the rest and you're going to take care of us. And I pray for the spiritual enrichment and growth of this church, God. I thank you for what you've done, and I thank you for what you're going to do, and be with us as we continue to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.